Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that. I don't know, I turned into Don Pardo all of a sudden.
You did.
Find us where good podcasts can be found. If you want to help support Going In Raw, there's a number of ways you can do that. First and foremost, the freest and easiest way to do it is if you hop on your little podcast app, whichever one you use, leave us a rating or a review. It really helps boost the profile of the show. It actually does a lot of good for Going In Raw. If you have a couple extra bucks to kick around, you want something in return, like a cool Going In Raw care package. I'm going to start showing off that comic book. I don't have any.
Yeah, there's none handy.
Anyways, we've got a bunch of reward tiers over at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got about 45 people watching right now this podcast as a live stream. We do a pre-show. We do a post-show. We give away. This one here is going to our friendo Sam Brunker. I'm not going to show the address, but look at this. Samantha won these two cards, autographed cards of Carlito and Mr. Perfect.
Autographed by us.
Correct. Not by the actual wrestlers. And Zuri, because she won chat trivia last week.
Yes.
Or the week before.
And so I have right here now. The cards for chat trivia this week.
Whoa, right here. Who, which patron will be? That's $5 a month. You get access to three of our live streams.
Correct.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Anyways, we're also available on Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. I was going to wear my Mecha Santa shirt to show that off, but then I remember one of our great friendos sent.
That's a good shirt.
I love this Eastern Championship.
I wore the I'm Sean, you're Marty shirt the other day.
Mm-hmm, yep.
That was sent along with that. And it's very comfortable, high-quality garments, those shirts are. Look for the I'm Sean, you're Marty shirt on an upcoming episode of Going In Raw.
I love it.
I'm wearing Kenny Omega today,
You're wearing Kenny today.
It was on the top of my clean clothes pile.
Quick trivia question for you. All right. What popular wrestling federation did Eastern Championship Wrestling eventually become?
XPW.
Very good. XPW is the correct answer. Anyways. Can we just keep on talking about absolutely nothing instead of talking about SmackDown?
It was not a good show.
I joke.
Not joking. It was not a good show.
Okay, no, it actually kind of was. In my opinion, it kind of was. In a vacuum, the idea of doing the U.S. title tournament all in one show, I kind of like.
No, I appreciate that.
The crowd got to see something that they didn't expect to see.
It felt like that was decided right before the show started.
That's
there
definitely
true. There was an exceptional amount of filler in the show.
Yes.
There was one very long match that opened the show, which usually I'm enormously in favor for. However, this match involved Jinder Mahal, who is not a bad wrestler, but he's not the most captivating wrestler in terms of his in-ring performance. And I don't know if you want to dedicate 22 minutes to a match featuring him. Xavier Woods is great.
Yeah.
But the story they were telling was Jinder dominating Xavier Woods for 22 minutes, however long it ended up being.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't a captivating, engrossing way to start the show.
The match itself was not all that great.
I love how it started.
Yeah.
Where Jinder just kicked Xavier right in the face.
Yeah.
But then from there on out, I mean, that set the tone that Jinder was going to have the upper hand. I guess we might as well leap right into this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just 20 minutes of watching Xavier Woods get beat up.
So, yeah, on paper, I was. So, there's a couple things going on here. And like I said, from my point of view, in a vacuum, SmackDown was okay.
Theoretically, if you look at it on paper, it's fine.
Yeah.
But as a viewing experience, it really wasn't that great.
And here's the larger issue. So, last week, we unfortunately had to do a SmackDown recap that largely was negative because what we were presented was not good.
No.
It was confusing. It was a mess. Some people on Twitter, I know we got at least one response from a friendo on Twitter saying, hey, you know, you guys should, you know, be patient, the Daniel Bryan stuff. Well, my thing is, if I'm watching an episode I've said before with wrestling, I'll wait and see. I'm kind of interested to see where it's going to go. Yeah, I don't know where it's going to go.
I have the same approach too.
Right, exactly. With Jason Jordan, I'm finally turning around being like, okay, this is actually really entertaining. Where at first when he was doing the annoying guy, I was just annoyed with him. I liken it to the Rushmore thing. Mm-hmm. I've said this to you for years mm-hmm. now. I can't really get into the movie Rushmore because the character, him, like the lead character,
that's what you have to do.
Is so annoying.
You have to watch that movie once a year. And then in 5 to 6 years, you'll get it.
And here's the thing also, is that I've seen that movie a couple times since then, and it has, I do get past that a little bit, you know? So what you're saying is actually kind of true. With Jason Jordan, I think he's just finding what he's supposed to be doing. And now for me, he's reached a point where it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
With conversely, over on SmackDown, it either they don't know what they're doing or they're just doing it badly with Daniel Bryan because I'm not interested. I'm just kind of like bugged by the conflicting motivations that are just all over the map.
What
don't make sense.
What we said last week was that there's zero captivating stories going on in SmackDown right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the
and
thing
that's
about...
carried over to this week. Even with this title tournament concluding at the end of the show,
mm-hmm.
it pretty much went how we expected it to go.
Yeah.
There was zero surprise to it.
It gives me... this week gate with SmackDown, and there's a part of me that's okay with this. But it's kind of obvious that they might be reconsidering whatever it is they were doing and decided, look, we need a week to we need extra time to figure this out.
Yeah.
Because there was no Nakamura. There was no Orton besides the iPhone promo stuff.
There was very little AJ. There was basically zero of the Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon stuff.
That's their A story.
And they just sat ringside for the main event.
Right, exactly.
And the commentary team made it seem like it was a huge deal. They were getting along and sitting in the same room essentially together.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was looking for any cue that there was some sort of advancement in that story, even in their little cameo appearances, and there was nothing. I firmly believe that they're figuring this out, which isn't bad because it means that they understand that the direction they're headed in is not a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Talk about a gimmick match, a handicap match for the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble. That does a disservice to so much. That should be a SmackDown main event,
mm-hmm.
not at the Royal Rumble.
I know.
I mean, I don't know, man. I just think it's funny, too, because I see all the stuff with Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch, and it's so charming.
I know.
Everything is so good.
All the promo stuff for Mixed Match Challenge
has been great.
People aren't confined or restricted by whatever character is given to them on Raw or SmackDown,
right?
They're just kind of more free to be themselves,
right?
And all the little promo bits come off is so charming,
mm-hmm.
And it's a bummer they don't get to do that kind of stuff on Raw or SmackDown. I got to think about this last night. I was trying to think where was the pivot point, the fulcrum, where SmackDown was good to it not being so good, and it's when they interjected Shane McMahon to that AJ Styles Kevin Owens feud
mm-hmm,
over the summer.
Yeah,
that's really the tipping point. I feel mm-hmm. like because. Beginning of this year, end of last year, for the most part, SmackDown was firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Was putting on week in, week out, the best show between Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then over the summer, there was a huge shift.
Mm-hmm.
Raw was catching up, and by the time early fall hit, Raw, week in, week out, was the better of the two shows.
Yeah.
And now SmackDown is, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It started with that annoying botched finish with Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, where he's like, look, we were sitting there thinking, wow, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, what a great... They had three matches, and none of them were near the type of match we know for sure these two could put on because they started interjecting all this weird crap. Now, I don't know if that finish was a botched finish, and we never got a definitive answer through all the dirt sheets. You know, the dirt sheets will have, like, different sort of varying ideas of what happened, but eventually they'll all, you know, coalesce into one firm answer as to what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
We got that with Vince McMahon's the headbutt, where, okay, so was it the hard way? Did he cut? Did he, you know, what
was it? A combination of the two?
And eventually, everybody sort of coalesced around this idea. Okay, so it seems like he cut himself in advance. He glued it.
But also didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, there eventually was a firm answer. And you never know exactly if it's completely true or not, or if it's complete BS. But generally speaking, the evidence lines up mm-hmm. for whatever, mm-hmm. you know, resolution there is. I have, and so that botched finish with AJ and KO, I'm sorry, I took the long route there, but that botched finish, we still have no idea what happened, if that was supposed to happen that way or if it wasn't. but they never course corrected properly. And then there was the, you know, I think the first one was that finish where AJ was
got caught in the announce table. Apron.
It's like, okay, that's fine. It sets up the next one. Then there was the botch finish. And then there was the third match. And I forget what that was.
That was at SummerSlam with Shane as the ref.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there you go. Shane is the ref. Exactly.
And then that match just served not to further the feud between Kevin Owens and AJ, but to further the feud between Kevin Owens and Shane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which led to Hell in a Cell, which led to where we are now.
Yeah. And Hell in a Cell was actually a good turning point, or it could have served as a good turning point, because you had, oh, Sami Zayn just helped out Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Now things are kind of interesting. And they interject Daniel Bryan in there, and they have no idea, is this guy supposed to be on their side? Is he not supposed to be on their side? Like, you know, who's the heel? Who's
I know.
The face?
I think they're aiming for complexity. And we've said this ad nauseum. I feel like they're aiming for complexity, mm-hmm. but it's just convoluted and confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know we'll wait and see how things play out. And in 2 months or at WrestleMania, when I'm assuming this whole thing will conclude, we can mm-hmm. look back and say, oh, okay, this is what they were doing the whole time. But right now,
yeah,
it's not indicative of any clear direction.
Well, I think we can look back probably by the time Mania hits, we can look back and say, well, this is what they were trying to do. This is where they course corrected, because it's obvious that
what their initial thought was wasn't going to work.
Because whatever story they were trying to tell, if that story had a sense of urgency, which it should, because the Rumble is mm-hmm. a week away, basically mm-hmm. coming up on a week away. There should be a sense of urgency to that story. This is this week is vital airtime for that story, and they didn't have it.
I know there's no Owens, no right. Zayn. They just had a video package,
yeah,
recapping the feud.
Yeah. So with that being said, on paper, in theory, giving the crowd and giving the TV audience kind of, you know, a swerve that we didn't see coming, where, hey, let's just finish this U.S. title tournament tonight. I kind of like that. I'm okay with it. You're right, that first match. But you're right. There was a lot of filler. There was a lot of stuff that, you know, we'll just go through bit by bit. You didn't like that opening match. I was okay with it. I get your point about it, though. I get your, you know, it was a long match.
I just feel like it was a one-dimensional story.
Mm-hmm.
Gender dominating the match.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
If there was a dimension to it, if there was more back and forth, it would have been more interesting.
But you know why I like that, though?
I understand how it sets up for the main event, and by the time the main event came around, I understood, okay, I get why they booked that match that way.
But it's also not a... If Xavier Woods is not supposed to be a singles competitor at this point, in my opinion, on par with Jinder, who's just coming off of a six-month reign as WWE champion.
I understand that as well.
I like him being dominant because...
He's a former champion. I understand that.
It's not this immediate D-push.
The storytelling aspects... I understand. The entertainment factor just wasn't there for me.
The entertainment factor wasn't there for me necessarily either. I just like on paper Jinder being dominant. Again, I just like Jinder. Even the opening State of the Union type thing with the podium, I thought fell flat, where the New Day usually mm-hmm. doesn't fall flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think it's them getting stale. I just think some things hit and some things don't. So yes, was the entertainment value there? Maybe not. Maybe not. Next up we had...
Oh, Jinder won with a cloth.
Thank you. Next up we had Baron Corbin on his iPhone. They did a lot of... Okay, dude, maybe we should...
It felt like they said at the live event previous to the SmackDown the Monday night before, they just went backstage and told everybody to shoot something on their iPhones.
I know. Sometimes you and I need to dial back maybe enthusiasm on certain things.
Because these things work on Twitter fine.
Because we are all in on the iPhone promos. And then they did them all. We need to stop giving them ideas, man.
I know, because they take things too far.
And they take them too literally. Not just because we say we like iPhone stuff, because evidently we're the gatekeepers now.
It seems that way. We're the Dolph Ziggler of WB now.
Right, exactly. Just because we say we like Mojo Rawley's iPhone thing. Because we're, you know, they do that kind of stuff with... Hey, how'd you like Adam Mayhem on the iPhone? The NXT style way of doing things for his promo. It was great.
It was great.
So let's give a quick plug to our friend.
Oh, yes.
Adam Mayhem.
Yeah, he's got a show February 3rd, the Colonial mm-hmm. Theater here in Sacramento, where he's taking on Mecha Wolf 450.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, we'll be there.
I think we're going to be there.
Yeah.
So it should be a lot of fun.
I might buy tickets today.
I'm hoping there's going to be popcorn. I don't really care about the matches. I just want popcorn. But if you want to say hi to Steven Larson, catch some good wrestling, go check it out.
Yeah,
be fun.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Let's see here. Yeah, but, you know, iPhone promos.
if it was just Baron,
it'd
have been fine.
Right.
If it was just Randy's, it would have been fine.
Right,
if it was three of the women's ones, it would have
mm-hmm.
been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they use that as their primary storytelling tool for the duration of this episode.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. It was too much.
Why do some of the are these people?
Wait, hold on a second. So when they had the segment where all the women in the Rumble did theirs, they all had title cards between the videos. Orton had a title card before his video, but Corbin didn't get a title card. Where's the consistency?
I love your details there, because I totally missed that.
And like Orton's title card is really like highly produced.
Yeah.
Or it seemed like it, because it was a font I'd never seen before. Whereas the women's one was just white font with a blue stroke on it.
Right.
That was like a pretty basic
font.
But then Baron got none. There were cuts in the middle of Baron and Randy's. Because there was flashes.
There were. I didn't notice it, man. Oh my gosh, that's like me watching NXT. I pick up on every little detail.
Apparently, it's like,
well done.
Yeah,
well done.
I'm studying these iPhone promos.
Well, they're very important.
It's funny, like the produced ones, I hardly pay attention to the production aspect of it. But when they're on them with iPhones, it's like all I focus on is the production value of these promos.
Here's the thing that I don't get too: why are these iPhone videos so damn compressed? Are they all rocking iPhone 3s or something? Because
maybe they shoot it and then text it to somebody.
It's like they sent it via text.
Yeah.
Dude, get a drop. Do something. Yeah, like get a Dropbox. Get a Google Drive. Everybody has Google Drive. They give you like 50 free gigabytes a month. Yeah, man. Like, these are state of the art. These are amazing like cameras that they have. Even the front facing these days are great.
Pretty good, yeah.
And they look like they're, you know, on a Nokia brick or something. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, those didn't shoot video.
Did you have a Nokia brick back in the day? Everybody had Nokia bricks.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe? Maybe not.
I had a little Nokia phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know which. I think I know which one you had.
About that large.
Okay, yeah. Those aren't that's not the brick. I had the Nokia brick. Oh, man. So, we had Baron go, hey, I'm going to be main eventing.
I'm Lone Wolf, and Lone Wolves are perfect for Rumbles. Right.
There's a reason they call me the Lone Wolf. Nobody wants to hang out with me because I talk weird. But I'm going to be at Rumble. I'll be honest. I liked our Rumble. Oh, did you see Dana Brooke? Declared.
Oh, yeah. I saw her on the graphic. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so before I got cut off by Steve, I'm in the Rumble.
I'm going to throw people over top rope. You can either get out of my way, or if you stand in front of me, I'll throw you over top rope.
If you stand behind me, I hope I don't get thrown over top rope by you. And then at the very end, he says, I'm main eventing. And then there was like an awkward pause. WrestleMania.
But
like
they
forgot the pay-per-view.
They needed a half smile for WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
He thinks it works for Finn, so he's going to... What does that look? That's a great look. Oh, man. We give Baron so much crap. I love Baron, though. I think he's great. What a success story he is.
Oh, I know.
AJ Styles interview.
This started off really bad. He said this thing at the Rumble is a 3-on-1 match because I consider Kevin Owens two people.
Yeah, what does that even mean? Is he fat shaming?
Yes.
What the heck?
Whoa. That's how I took it. I don't know how else it could be taken.
I mean, he's a powerful opponent.
AJ's
been hanging out with Randy. Randy loves to fat shame Kevin
Owens. Oh, yeah. On Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter, which is actually sometimes it's really funny when he does it.
Oh, but because also Kevin Owens comes back. Because
what was it like? Kevin Owens was like super cool, like crashed this wedding and took a picture with some people. And then Randy Orton on Twitter said, the only reason you're there is because they had a buffet. And then Kevin Owens came back with like, don't you vape. It was kind of lame because there's no coming back from that. That's a good one. That's the only reason you were there is for the buffet.
Kevin Owens lays into Randy Orton pretty good on Twitter, too.
I know, he does. And I think those guys...
He routinely calls Randy Orton a boring wrestler on Twitter. He lays it into him for being dull.
That's great.
And boring.
That's awesome.
He said he'd rather watch grass grow than watch one of his matches.
And you know, those guys have to like each other,
right?
They're
probably laughing about
it. They probably crack up about it. It's probably hilarious. People think that they're real, too. People think that they're like, getting a B. Like,
no, they probably think it's just funny.
This is hilarious, man.
Anyways, by the second half of AJ's promo, it turned around. It was okay. But the first half was cringeworthy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I must have tuned out this episode, man. I must have tuned out. I had to look through your notes before you came over. I was like, is there anything I missed? Because I really don't remember a lot.
Well, you texted me because you watched the East Coast feed, and you like, this. It seems like they rewrote the show 5 minutes before it started. So I was really paying attention.
Yeah, okay, all right. See, I was like...
But here's the thing. I really was paying attention, but I feel like I spent half the time watching the show on my phone reading Twitter. Somehow I remember everything. Maybe it's because I watch it with commercial breaks, and usually I don't do that.
So I told you this also off camera, and I forget if it was in the pre-show for patrons or not, but one of my litmus tests is, so for example, during the New Day segment at the very top, my dad was hanging out with me because he had to like just chill here at the house before he went to go pick up one of the kids from school. And we were watching, and it wasn't entertain. It wasn't. I wasn't laughing. I wasn't really entertained by it. Like they did the rolling Maharaja.
Sorry, hold on. Jason, the cabbie, said that Corbin did get a title card, so I did miss that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Thank you, Jason, the cabbie.
So my dad was watching. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't funny, and he wasn't. He was no selling the whole thing. He was watching it. He was just trying to figure out what the hell was going on, why these guys were like talking about pancakes and stuff. And so later on during this segment here, where all the women had their iPhone promos, my wife and my stepkid Summer was in the room with me, and they were watching. And I was like, if it's entertaining, anybody will be entertained by it. That's pro wrestling. If it's not entertaining, if it's just a bunch of people talking into an iPhone, you know, it's just going to be weird. And so I get kind of, I'm not embarrassed that I'm watching wrestling. I'm embarrassed that I'm watching something that isn't entertaining. Because then they'll start asking questions like, why are these people all talking on their iPhones? Why does this look so pixelated? And I'm like, I have to explain it to them.
Yeah.
And I hate having to explain that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's Kenny Omega wrestling a 10-year-old girl, that's wildly entertaining. That's the ultimate in entertainment right there. I agree with him on that.
Yeah. Like,
if you want to show anybody a wrestling match for them to get it, you know, a grown man wrestling a 10-year-old girl is hilarious when she's kicking his ass, you know. But this stuff, just a bunch of people talking to their iPhones about the Rumble. It's not that entertaining.
Well, it's not really creative.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. God, there's 9 of them.
Yeah.
Just rattled off in a row.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No good.
There just wasn't a creative approach to having the competitors in the Women's Rumble hype the match.
Like, was there too much? Was there like too much production to be done with the Mixed Match Challenge that they had to like
I hadn't thought about that.
Cut the SmackDown production, like they had to, like, you know, delegate more duties to other people.
I wouldn't see why, because apart from changing like the ring apron,
right,
and the video and the lighting scheme on the Titantron, like what else is there to do? You just send the feed.
It's one match.
You send the feed to, rather than to USA, to Facebook. I would
guess. I don't see
how that's a huge thing. Granted, I'm not in advanced high definition television production.
Right,
exactly. I do YouTube for a living.
Let's talk to Hilton about that. Hilton, what would be the problems with this?
There you go.
He'd spell out for us.
There you go. But anyways, yeah, it just wasn't a creative approach to hype it up a match.
I mean, we're not sitting here complaining about what we complained about last week, where they did the HD version where they just sit down in front of a stable TV. So there's that. It's just, but man, if that's all you're coming with is, hey, let's do 9 of these and let's all the women give all, you know, have all the women on SmackDown, have them all do something on their iPhones.
Yeah.
You know, do that. It's just not, I don't know, man. Either break it up or, I don't know, do something. It's not good. Anyways, let's see here.
Alex C. says here in chat, it's all because one of the production trucks is still in San Antonio because Braun flipped it over.
That's right. That's right. Probably.
Good point.
Good point, Alex. Good point.
Next, Bobby Roode versus Mojo Rawley, the second semifinal match for the U.S. Championship Tournament of the Evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like Mojo, they need to, like, figure in terms of packaging. I think he's almost there.
He just needs new ring gear.
And then his Tron is a mess of it's like color vomit.
But he's got a new song that sounds more menacing.
I'm cool with the song. Yeah. I like the song.
Titan,
I think he's close. That's
the Titantron is different, too.
Well, the Titantron is a mess of color.
Yeah.
It's just color vomit.
Yeah.
He needs a theme of some sort.
Well, then his ring gear should be color vomit as well.
It kind of is.
No, it's pretty much the Maryland state flag.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, it's yellow and a bunch of other crap thrown on it.
Well, it's yellow, red, black, and white.
Isn't there some blue in it? I swear there's some blue in it.
No.
Really? Okay.
No.
Well, it's not He needs to
go back to the Zubaz pants.
No, man, no.
Shorts.
No.
Or he needs...
Zubaz is party time.
Color vomit. Trunks.
No, he needs, like, I don't know what he needs. I don't know what it is. Don't ask me to design him. He just needs something that's sort of more in keeping with his...
He's like a Jackson Pollock painting
with his
tights. Just color everywhere.
Oh, man.
That's kind of what his Titantron is.
Let me ask you something. Jackson Pollock, art or no?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just divvying out art into like, you know, what Alabama's like. I mean, Alabama's crappy ghost on a plate over there.
Let me finish my thought. You've seen the movie Pollock, yes?
Yeah.
There was a method behind what he did. There was purpose behind it. And for that reason, yeah, I'd say that's art. You might not appreciate it aesthetically.
There's purpose behind that.
Yeah.
Freaking. So that's art over there. Yeah. You're just doling out art to anybody. Whatever, like.
I guess so.
You know.
If there's purpose behind it.
If I put down a canvas.
If there's purpose behind a creative endeavor, sure.
If I put down a canvas.
Wrestling is an art too, Steve.
Does Zoe still rub her butt in a circle?
Yeah.
If I put down a canvas and you put some paint on her butt.
There's not a purpose behind your creative acts. The purpose there is to.
I would argue that's more artistic than Jackson Pollock. To rub her butt. Because there's.
That's fine. That's your perspective. That's cool.
There's real, like, motivation there. There's emotional tension there.
So you didn't pay attention to the movie then?
Oh, what, to Jackson Pollock?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Ed Harris is a bit much. Have you ever listened to the commentary on it?
No.
You should. Ed Harris is great. He's a national treasure. I love Ed Harris. But because there's one scene towards the beginning where like Pollock is at a train station or something, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a bunch of extras in the background and like he stops mid-sentence and says, "Look at that extra back there just doing too much."
Wow.
Anyways, I like Mojo Rawley, man, and I like this match. I like Mojo. He's intense. I love his finish. He just runs and punches a guy. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And this is a decent match. Mm-hmm. It's told a story where Mojo was going after Bobby Roode's midsection, specifically mm-hmm. his ribs, which, again...
would factor in later on.
Yeah, play a role in the main event. Mm-hmm. For a storytelling aspect, it was fine. Mojo's kind of got that... I feel like he's... I don't know if he's consciously doing it, but it reminds me of Tama Tonga, mm-hmm. the way he moves around the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as graceful as Tama Tonga.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's kind of doing... I mean, Mojo's is more obviously influenced by his football history.
Yeah, he's an evil football player.
Yeah.
I love it.
But the way he kind of moves around the ring, kind of, you know, like, stalks his opponents,
mm-hmm.
it kind of reminds me of Tama Tonga a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that, yeah. Anyways, Bobby Roode went over. Glorious DDT. He was able to avoid
the running forearm against the ropes.
Yeah.
Got a glorious DDT right after he got the three count. The Singh brothers came out and attacked him.
Uh-huh.
Jinder came out, dropped a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Roode said, "Well, why wait till next week? Let's have this match tonight."
Yeah.
And Jinder, thinking he was still WWE champion, said, "We'll do this on my time when I'm ready for it."
It's like, for you don't, my get, a, people,
you don't
my
get to call the shots here.
Right.
Jinder. So Daniel Bryan comes out with no music, no fanfare whatsoever.
Yeah.
He's just standing behind Jinder and says, "Nope, match is happening tonight."
Yeah. He says, "That's a great idea. We'll do it tonight." Yes.
He didn't go that far.
Yeah.
I expect him to say, "That's it.
That's it." Can we get like a Daniel Bryan shirt? That's it.
I know.
If he does that a couple more times, we'll just make one our own.
Yes.
That's it.
Get the maroon shirt, that mm-hmm. font yeah, they yeah, use for yeah. the yes,
That's
yes,
it.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Next, Randy Orton iPhone promo. Mm-hmm. He was obviously in the ring before a live event started.
Right, exactly.
Because he turned his selfie stick around, and there was the barricade for the live event.
That was the greatest, like, towards at the very end, like when he finished talking, and he went like this to show the ring, and then they cut. Why did he do this?
No, he had a line after he swung the camera around.
When he was in the ring, he had a line after that?
After he swung the camera around.
Oh, I thought it cut.
Well, he had a line, then it cut.
Okay.
Because he swung it around, said something, and then it cut.
Oh, I thought he said something, swung it around, and you see the inside of the ring, and then it cut without a line. Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, though.
No. I just thought it was really awkward, because I thought there was going to be a punctuating thought there, and then it just cut. It's very possible that me, with my, you know, attention deficit disorder.
Did you think Randy Orton wrote his promo himself? It was relatively well written, I thought.
I think that I actually kind of think that they all did them themselves, did their own stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a step in the right direction. I could be completely wrong about that. I mean, maybe it's just the amateurish quality of the iPhone makes it feel more organic.
Homemade, yes.
Homemade. Which, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's just when you rattle off 9 in a row.
Yeah, no, especially when, like, when the women maybe got 2
right,
sentences
exactly,
each.
Yeah.
And they're all, a lot of them were fairly formulaic.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then Orton comes out with some like analogy or metaphor to start his thing off. I'm like, oh, okay.
Let me,
this is like downright Shakespearean for WWE.
Yeah. Let me ask you some, what do you like better? When the Shield first did their promos, they would like simulate a handheld cam, like they would simulate, or but it was obviously like a real camera.
Yeah.
Or do you like the real iPhone? I think I prefer the real iPhone.
Yeah, me too.
Because you always know that it's not real.
Yeah.
And
it's not real.
What's better than not real?
Real is always preferable, Steve. If you got a choice between not real and real,
you always go with real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's see here.
Next.
I mean, see, here's the thing. This is a bad episode of SmackDown, but it's fun to make fun of.
Yeah, next. Six women tag action. Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Naomi against the Riot Squad.
Mm-hmm.
How many six women tag matches have we had involving the Riot Squad since they've debuted?
What exactly is Charlotte going to do with the Rumble?
At least
anyways?
A dozen?
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's, dude, it's way. They have no clue what they're doing with the Riot Squad.
They have no idea what they're doing with the women's division on SmackDown.
How long is the Riot Squad?
Which really
had
bums
that?
Me out.
So, yeah, I know. How long is that? I know. They just think, oh, we got a women's Rumble coming up. So, we're not going to do anything until the women's Rumble. There's no storylines going to the. That's kind of the thing that we've been talking about, especially on Raw, because we think that Asuka's going to win, Oscar and Nia Jax, or maybe Becky Lynch might win. And that's assuming Ronda's not in it. Is that we feel like Asuka, there hasn't been much storyline set up because Asuka is expected to win. If she doesn't win, it's going to be a disappointment.
Yeah, it's going to feel like a huge letdown.
It's going to feel like a huge letdown because there hasn't been any stories that have been set up. There's no like big underdog story going on SmackDown.
No one has momentum.
Right, yeah.
Nobody has momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only, even on the men's side.
Yeah, I know.
No one, except Roman Reigns, no one has momentum.
Yeah.
There's no momentum.
Yeah.
Maybe Finn. Finn has some momentum.
Oh, even, Finn has momentum.
Even with that loss to Seth,
I think he has momentum. Him being the victim of the first curb stomp in 3 years absolutely gives him all sorts of great momentum and motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Real.
Real. I love that you're so on board with Finn these days, man. We got to sit here and watch some old Prince Devitt promos
all right.
where he's like a freaking terrorist guy. Scary, man.
Yeah, I know.
Scary.
Liv Morgan pinned Naomi after hitting her finisher. It's like a one-knee codebreaker.
Yeah.
Ruby Riott kicked Naomi in the head,
mm-hmm.
setting up the finisher.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Next, Usos interview.
Yeah, apparently one of them Usos got arrested for
Jay.
For a Dewey. That's what they used to call it back in the day. A
DUI, yeah.
Got myself a Dewey again. It's not good. It's like $8,000 you got to pay now. I've never had a Dewey, thank goodness.
Nor have I.
It's terrifying. Yeah, so they did not talk about the Dewey.
No.
So that's good. Do you think the Dewey is going to... I can't remember the last time somebody got arrested for DUI.
I was on PW Insider, and they reached out to WWE for a statement, and their response was pretty much, Jey Uso is responsible for his own personal business.
Okay.
I'm paraphrasing. Right. That's the gist of it, so they're not going to...
Is that what they're going to say when Roman Reigns gets busted in this whole steroid thing?
No, that's a much larger deal.
That's not just his personal business?
No.
Because, I don't think so.
Because that affects the competitive nature of their endeavor.
I think you're right, man. It doesn't look good for the company. Can't be involved
no.
in a big steroid scandal.
No.
Oh, man.
But anyways, right after Usos say Usos Penitentiary, they get attacked from behind by Gable and Benjamin.
Yeah.
And Gable says, yeah, we're going to call you former tag team champions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think I don't know if the DUI changes the plans at all for Gable and Benjamin. I kind of feel like it doesn't, and that Gable and Benjamin are probably on pace to win these titles anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Next, we had a Nakamura iPhone promo.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's iPhone promo.
And then our main event.
I kind of feel like are they trying to ruin the iPhone promo for us? Is this out of spite towards
it
going in Raw?
It could be.
Yeah.
Every decent idea.
You like these? How about we'll give them all that you want?
Maybe every decent idea we propose, they do, but they do it too much or do it poorly.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, look, you thought it would work? It didn't work. What do you guys know? Nothing.
You guys know.
Main event, Jinder Mahal versus Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode enters the match with compromised ribs.
Yeah.
So Jinder attacks.
But, I mean, he doesn't have rib tape on. Are they
That's
really
a good point.
Compromised?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Come on. Put on some rib tape, man.
I know. You have plenty of time.
You've seen. You know who DDP is.
This match had a much clearer story, a much more captivating story than Jinder's first match, I thought. Because, Jinder was going after those ribs. Jinder was relatively fresh.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take a whole lot of punishment. So, like I said, after watching the main event, it made me somewhat reevaluate the first match from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah.
Jinder is the fresher man. Bobby has busted up ribs, not so bad that it necessitated tape, but,
right, but still
busted up ribs nonetheless.
Yeah.
Jinder was attacking him ferociously. Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan came out to witness this main event ringside.
This is why rib tape is always a great thing for storytelling.
It's just a great visual.
Well, for storytelling reasons too, because then, and you, I saw this, ACH did this, I think, with when he replaced Ricochet in
New Japan. Tag League,
I think. Because then you have the spot where Jinder takes the rib tape off.
I saw that at the G1 special in USA day two, I believe.
Yeah. Who had rib tape?
Kenny, I think.
I think Kenny. Yeah, it was Kenny, right? Yeah.
And then Jay Lethal took it off.
You go after the ribs.
It's a target, yeah.
Under the rib tape.
Yeah.
And you take it off. It's like, oh, no, now they're exposed.
Yes.
Even though tape doesn't really protect you.
Not really. Nonetheless, it's a good visual.
It is a great visual, exactly.
Bobby Roode reversed a Colossus into a glorious DDT, picked up the win. He is your new Universal Champion. This is a really convoluted
Not the
way.
Universal Champion.
Sorry, U.S. Champion. Thank this is you. A really convoluted way to get that U.S. title on Bobby Roode. Why didn't he just win at, TLC? Is this just because Dolph's going to...
We can speculate all day.
Dolph is just going to come back and say, hey, I never lost the belt. I'm true U.S. champion. Have another match between Dolph and Bobby Roode.
So, okay, here's the thing. I'm not against. I'm actually quite for.
And I love tournaments.
Yeah.
You know me. I love wrestling tournaments.
Well, no, I love champion versus same champion.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. When Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon.
Yeah, that's all good stuff.
Both Intercontinental Champions.
John Cena versus CM Punk.
Oh, give me that all day long. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm okay with it, but in the end, what you're saying is true. You can doll it up as much as you want. We're just getting another Bobby Roode versus Dolph match. The only thing I can think is they didn't want either Bobby or Baron to take the pin. They just took the scenic route.
No,
man.
Baron did take the pin. He lost the belt to Dolph.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I don't know, man. I honestly think it's – I don't know if this is – do you think – SmackDown, like Vince McMahon has like a list of priorities, right? He's not willing to give up SmackDown to somebody else who can devote all their time to it. He still wants a hand in it.
But it's like number 8 on his to-do list.
Power rank his to-do list.
One, I think, is to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I think he does that every morning.
Okay.
Two, more like a not-to-do thing. Don't sneeze.
Okay. So that's your gym and not sneezing are higher than booking Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
On his power rankings.
3, I think, is to make sure shareholders are happy.
Okay, yeah, that's a big one.
And then 4, I think, is booking Raw.
Okay, yeah.
5 is doing the football stuff.
Mm-hmm, sure.
No, actually, yeah, football stuff now is 4.
Okay.
Booking Raw is 5.
Okay, all right.
That's what I think.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Actually, football stuff might be 1. No, Jim's 1, then football stuff, then not sneezing.
Jim's definitely 1 because it extends his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim might be number 1 for me, too.
Over going in Raw. Over
yeah,
the podcast.
I think
really.
So
if somebody said, hey, all you can do, and like, you can either go to the gym or make money, you just go to the gym.
I might.
I mean, nobody's going to blame you for that. It extends your life.
It does.
Although you've always been anti-living too long.
Well, I mean, I've always been against...
What's the perfect age to be done with?
Well, for me, it's just whatever... I never thought about
it. Okay. Dude,
I never thought in my mind, okay, I want to drop dead when I'm 85.
Yeah,
I'm thinking think that way.
I'm thinking like 125.
No, that's too long for me.
Okay, so what's a good number?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a number. It's just living your life thing. All right.
Well, if 120
I'm good.
Is...
Coming to peace with the fact that your days are numbered.
120. No, I don't think anybody comes to peace with that. We can have that conversation all day long.
We have had our conversation before.
Nobody comes to peace with that.
Oh,
man.
That's true.
Oh, people go kicking and screaming.
Not everybody.
I'm going to go kicking and screaming, I tell you that much.
All right.
I'm pretty sure you will, too.
No, I'm fine.
You're going to say, Steve, no. Then I'll be like...
In your robotic body, knocking over all my medical equipment. You're going to pull the plug inadvertently on me.
That'll
You're going to cause my demise.
That'll never get old. That'll never get old.
You want to talk about mixed match challenge a little bit?
Yeah, I watched
it
this morning.
More or less
I watched
an extension of SmackDown.
Yeah.
This one match was more entertaining than anything on SmackDown.
Look at this still of Asuka and Miz.
Oh,
I think
great.
They genuinely like each other as people.
That's what I really like about the mixed match challenge.
Oh,
you get to see the true personalities of these people, and they seem to be having so much fun.
They're so charming. Everybody just comes off immediately as so
yes.
charming. Yeah,
and it's great.
It is.
Even in the ring. You had Demon Boss or Boss Club, I think is what they're calling themselves.
Yeah, we trademarked Demon Boss.
Yeah, they're facing the cease and desist if they persist with the Demon Boss stuff.
Stop persisting.
Yeah. Right. Against Shinsuke Nakamura and Natalya. This was a really fun match. There was limited intergender wrestling going on here
and there,
where Natalya knocked Finn off the top rope. Sasha, I believe, broke up a pin.
She tried to jump on Shinsuke, caught her doing something, like literally caught
her.
She's
doing a suicide
physically.
Dive, yeah.
Yeah, suicide dive. He caught her. He, you know, very gingerly placed her on the apron and then gave her the old Shinsuke, you know, hand treatment. And then
Sasha did a crossbody off the apron. Shinsuke got out of the way, and Natalya ate that.
Yeah, but even that, like, you could tell, I could tell definitively with Finn and Sasha, and to a degree Natalya. I think Shinsuke has a good poker face, but they all wanted to crack. Well, I don't want to crack up, but it had a very house show feel to it.
Yeah,
like they were just out there having fun. And half the time, they had like half smile. It was like watching an old Emma match.
Yeah.
Like just had a smile on the face all the time. So, yeah, it was fun. Natalya tapped out to the bank statement. Demon Boss advances.
Yes. And then the next week it is Ms. Asuka versus, I don't remember. But whoever wins that match will be Demon Boss's opponents in several weeks.
So your bracket immediately was like busted up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I didn't even bother with the bracket. I just said in the end it's going to be Alexa Braun. Although then after the fact, after we recorded the podcast yesterday, I was thinking to myself, wait a second. Would the fact that they're Connor's cure, that they're fighting for Connor's cure, mean that they're not going to win?
Because it's kind of a WWE charity?
Because it's a WWE charity?
Could be.
And people should be like, you're just giving money to yourself.
Yeah, that would probably not be the best PR move.
Probably not. So I don't know. You think you know something, and then you don't know something.
Yep,
that's
life, man.
That's the life lesson right there. You think
really
you know
is.
Something, and then it turns out
you don't know anything.
It's not real.
It's Return, not real.
Let's answer some questions.
Yeah, let's do that.
Return of the Zach asks, who will Bobby Roode defend against first?
Dolph will come back.
Yeah, they're gonna do a Dolph thing. They've been keeping him off house shows and TV, obviously, to try to make it look like. You know what they should have been doing is having him do, like, on his Instagram, like, stand-up. You know, like him.
No, have him wrestle in PWG. That's what they should have him do.
He's starting to, that would be great. But he's starting the next phase of his life.
Yeah.
You know, stand-up comedy.
He's on the set of an internet series.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's showing up at Epic Mealtime or something.
Yeah, there you go.
He's on the Mythical Morning?
Rhett and Link.
Rhett and Link, is that
them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging out with them.
Richard Nason, can someone explain the lack of intelligence the SmackDown creative suddenly is dealing with? No AJ, well, limited AJ. No Orton, no Nakamura, no Usos, no Corbin, no Cammy, Owens, and Zayn. Oh, yeah, that was the punchline of AJ's promo.
Mm-hmm.
He dubbed Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn as Cammy.
That was not good.
No.
That was not good.
And no Rusev Day. Backstage segment, okay, in-ring.
Was it like intern week?
I mean, that's about
power rank. Reasons why SmackDown's terrible right now.
Yeah, they could have the PAs writing the show.
This week, I think it was intern week.
Yeah. Backstage segments do not count as being on TV. What is going on with SmackDown? Crowning a new U.S. champ was an important thing, but to surround an entire episode around it and freeze all other stories. By far, one of the worst SmackDowns ever, and that's real. So I hope it is. They decided to do all that last night to hit the reset button on everything else that's going on.
Sure.
They realized it wasn't working.
That's sort of the most logical conclusion I can come to, that they're hitting the reset button and saying, okay, look, next week we've got our go home SmackDown to the Royal Rumble. We need to hit this out of the park. Let's just take a week, get this U.S. title stuff out of the way because nobody really cares about it. And let's focus exclusively on what we're going to do with our A story heading into Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Does that mean do we change the match, the handicap match, because nobody really cares about it anyways? It is kind of an interesting match. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
You know, because who knows how the heck that's going to turn out. But anyways. Oh, great question here. Weekend Warrior TGX. Maybe we're going to talk about this probably on the dirt sheet.
Oh, yeah, we definitely are.
Okay. Well, his question is, if this Roman scandal turns out to be true, what happens at Mania?
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, best case scenario, it's Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
You know?
Although now with them giving Seth back curb stomp, I still think he'll either be involved in a program with either Jason Jordan or maybe Finn Balor at Mania.
Yeah.
But booking Seth back at full strength with curb stomp.
Yeah.
That shoots him back to the main event.
Yeah, that could be.
Possibly.
Braun comes off to me, dude, like the
I feel like Braun should be in that match instead of Roman anyways, but...
Braun at this point feels like an inevitability.
Yes.
And I wonder if, you know, sometimes just circumstance happens. And I wonder if this Roman thing is going to be a circumstance that they're not going to... That they're just going to be like, okay, look, it makes all the sense in the world. Just bring Braun up now. Have him be the heir apparent. Have mm-hmm. him beat Brock.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder if this Roman thing, if they're starting to say, okay, we were going to book the Rumble match against Brock and Kane one way. Let's start thinking about a different way to book it that's going to get us to Brock at Mania.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because, man, they're already booking him super strong.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here.
Zach Parks. What's your thoughts on WWE making mixed match challenge only viewable in the U.S.? It was just after lunchtime in Australia. Here waiting to watch to find out I couldn't.
Yeah, that's crap.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of crap. Facebook, if I'm not mistaken, is available in other parts of the world. I know it's available in Paraguay at the least because that's where my family is. And they use Facebook over there. All sorts of family drama. And so that's all Facebook is. Just a bunch of drama and pictures of kids.
You done?
I was going to say one more thing, but I'm not going to say it about stupid Facebook. Anyways, no, it's crap. Why it is isn't crap. It available international? It's not like they're put on Netflix. What the heck?
I know. It is crap.
It's weird.
Bronze grappling hook. With the return of Matt Chat, this question gives new viewers a look to the show. Both of you pick a different person in debate, except for Asuka. Who will win the Women's Royal Rumble?
Oh, yeah, Matt Chat. The
Sundays.
Much heralded Sunday show.
Debate show.
Yeah.
Anyways. You know why I wanted to put it on Sundays?
Why?
You remember Sports Reporters on ESPN?
No.
It was a debate show where they'd have sports reporters debate topics of the day, and it was always on Sunday morning.
Do you know what my favorite Sunday show was in the history of man?
Hmm.
George Michael's Sports Machine.
Yeah!
That was the best. 30 minutes of just the best sports of the week.
Yeah, that was great.
George Michael was, and it's not George Michael from Arrested Development, nor was it George Michael from pop music.
Yes.
R.I.P. Loved
yes.
him.
Yes, he great. Was great. Great.
Icon.
Great.
Icon. But it would always play when I would watch it. It was on Sunday, late Sunday nights, and it would just get me prepared for the new week.
Yeah.
Which when I used to watch it, like, you know, I was about to go to school on Monday.
It was a good show.
Yeah, man. Oh, so great.
So who, let's each pick someone that who could win the Rebel that's not Asuka. I'm going to pick Nia Jax.
Nia Jax is probably number two.
Nia Jax is without a doubt behind Asuka, the most dominant woman in the women's
for
division.
Sure. Absolutely.
At Mania, we saw it took everybody else in that fatal four-way match to take her out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what happens when she's in a match against more than one woman.
Mm-hmm.
It takes everybody else in that ring to get her out of that match.
Yeah.
And that's been an ongoing story. Have this be the time where even 29 other women couldn't take her out of the match. She wins in dominant fashion. They've been laying the groundwork for a while, some feud between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Have it happen at Mania. Maybe Enzo is involved in some capacity.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nia Jax, she should win the Royal Rumble rather than Asuka.
Can't give you a better answer than that. That's the best answer. However, I will say my pick, my non-Asuka pick to win the Royal Rumble is Bayley to make up. Because I know creative can give us something better than we got before, which was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Get Bayley back on the right path by scrubbing the history books of that terrible Alexa Bliss feud. Give us a feud between Bayley and Alexa Bliss that is so great, so fantastic, it'll make us forget completely that awful Bayley, this is your life.
Yeah, that was bad.
Crap in that TLC match or Extreme Rules match, whatever it was.
Extreme Rules, yeah.
Awful stuff. Anyways. Let's see here.
Broken Steve, what are the chances that Daniel Bryan is actually medically cleared by the WWE? But they're just keeping a classified secret until the Royal Rumble.
No, not a chance.
And if so, does he win it?
Not a chance. No. Because if he was cleared, we'd be seeing... If he was cleared, they would have a clear, concise story that writes itself leading from now all the way through the Rumble, through WrestleMania. We would be seeing it play out on the biggest stage of them all. I mean, we'd be seeing that big time.
This is great. Tommy T.
Have?
Hey, friendo. So I've been listening to you since the first episode of Going in Raw back when both of you agreed that you didn't want to see AJ Styles anywhere near the WWE.
I don't want to remember those days.
And Steve didn't think Kevin Owens had what it takes to make it on the main roster. So my question, Larson, what
is exposing us?
The, well, I mean, we've learned since we started the show.
Oh, I love them both. My favorites.
Oh, yeah. They're both great. What is the biggest change of opinion in anything wrestling related that Steve has had since going in Raw started? And what is something that stayed the same and Steve did the same to Larson? The Kevin Owens thing is a major one, because remember when he was got called up, you were worried about his physique and how it'd play against people like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, which still, I mean, you know, against Brock Lesnar, it's not like he's had a ton of success, but then that could say be said about everybody.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a physique-based thing.
It's not a Kevin Owens exclusive thing. You know?
But, I think Kevin Owens is kind of one of the first people brought from NXT that didn't have the prototypical body that Vince likes.
Sure.
And since then, we've seen a lot of other people brought into NXT and soon to be brought up that are, you know, aren't exactly chiseled and extremely muscular. And yeah. I think that's great. We want to see wrestlers of all shapes and sizes.
Correct.
We want diversity in our wrestlers.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's a great thing.
I would say like and it's not even that drastic of a change, but I'm very glad that you've come around to such a degree on Finn Balor, because I know how even as lukewarm as you were with him in NXT.
No, I thought he was boring in NXT.
Yeah, I know. Which is, like, that's worse than lukewarm.
Yeah,
that's
I thought like he was boring. I didn't get it.
Straight up cold on
I didn't get it at all.
Yeah, but now...
It's because they focused so much on the demon thing in NXT, I felt like. Yeah. But they really didn't.
Yeah.
It was the demon thing really took me out of it.
I think, like, for me, you just...
And I'm still not into the demon thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's a whole lot of substance to it.
Yeah, man.
I want substance. Really? I'm happy we both came around to the AJ Styles.
Oh, that was because look, dude, here's the thing. Like, we didn't even start watching New Japan until like
a year ago,
you know? And so there was no, like, all I knew was, oh, he's a guy from TNA. And even then, I wasn't really that aware of like how good he was in TNA. So, you know.
And I think also, too, is around that time he was, you know, he had injured a couple people got injured.
Yeah. We heard like the reputation of the Styles Clash.
Yeah.
You know, hey.
And we were worried that it was just an unsafe move.
Who'd have thought? Back then we did the show monthly. Now we do the show daily.
A lot of times back then we wouldn't even watch SmackDown.
You learn stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you get better at your job.
Yes. We've learned a lot doing the show. We never said we were authorities. We were nowhere close to the Wrestling Observer himself in terms of our knowledge of wrestling. No. We're learning just like a lot of people are out there.
One day we might amount to
We're
never going to have the width and breadth of knowledge of the Wrestling Observer himself.
I don't
think
anybody in human history
going
forward will ever have the breadth of knowledge that Dave Meltzer has of professional wrestling.
He's
been the Wrestling Observer for, what, 30 years?
He's a deity, really, in the span of wrestling.
Okay,
you know,
I'm happy you add that.
It's like a deity
qualifier there.
He's a guy who transcends space and time. So it's like partially
he doesn't know the future of wrestling. He only knows the past.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I do.
He's woven into the
fabric.
If
he knew the future, he went to sit at shows with his notepad and take notes. He'd already know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Broken stuff. Oh, he already wrote that
Did
one.
That one.
Karen. Karen always has good questions.
Yes.
The mixed match challenge is supposedly a little bubble outside the realm of canon WWE. And yet the back and forth between Sammy and Becky keeps hinting at a heel turn for our beloved Irish last kicker. Should the MMC be considered WWE canon?
Yeah.
And would Becky benefit from a heel turn?
Yeah, yes.
I would kind of want to see like WWE shift their canon to exclusively mixed match challenge canon.
Or at least, let people like do stuff that show their true personality and their actual charisma as I do on Mixed Match Challenge versus the stilted, boring, scripted promos they're forced to do on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, and now the weird iPhone promos that they're
forced
to do. Yeah,
I know. I think a heel Becky would be great because I really want a prolonged Becky versus Charlotte feud, especially for the belt at Mania.
That's got to be.
I think that'd be great.
Is that a new record for us, being all in on something one week and being all out on that same thing the next week? iPhone promos were all in and raving.
No, I think
about
that was more
week.
You all in on them.
And then, oh, you loved it too.
No, I don't think I loved it.
Man, you were all in on
I
it.
Think they were fine up for Twitter.
Hilton, can we play back the tape?
They're fine for Twitter, but Where I don't Hilton? Want them on the show.
Where did Hilton go? He's not here now.
I don't know, man.
Nate Morris. Hey, friendos, do you find it weird that Paige's doctors told her not to wrestle? And WWE let her wrestle, but Daniel Bryan's doctors told him he could wrestle, but the WWE won't let him. I don't find it weird because the one man, again, transcending space and time.
Dr. Joseph Maroon.
Does the mysterious enigmatic Dr. Joseph Maroon. You enter his lair, and he gives you a once-over, looks into your soul. You are not fit to wrestle, Daniel Bryan.
It's kind of like a mind meld, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to touch your face.
Thank you.
Paige, you are fit to wrestle. You're cleared. You know, nobody knows what diagnosis, what he uses. I feel it's a supernatural ability he has.
Oh, you haven't seen the season finale of Black Mirror?
No, I have not.
Because
is Dr. Joseph Maroon?
No,
in
no. But there's a guy that gets the thing implanted in him.
Yeah, sure.
So rather than having to use, you know, like visual symptoms and patient accounts to determine what's wrong,
yeah,
he can actually feel what's going on with them.
Oh wow!
So maybe that's what Joseph Maroon does.
There you go. Yeah, I'm going to put a chip inside of you.
Yeah, that story's really messed. That whole last episode's messed up.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to put this in your anal cavity, Daniel Bryan.
You want to do trivia now?
You'll find mild discomfort.
Oh, my goodness.
I think once I've started talking about anal cavities, the show is pretty much done. So we got to do trivia and then get out of here.
Attitude Era first.
Attitude Era first.
I'll start. What superstar did John Cena defeat in match one of a best of seven series? Sorry, best of five series for the United States Championship at SummerSlam 2004. What superstar did John Cena defeat in match one of a best of five series for the United States Championship at SummerSlam 2004?
Was it Big Show?
No. Booker T.
Oh, okay. Don't put a finger up. Big events. What city was the location for WrestleMania 14?
Boston.
Very good.
Who defeated Sable to win the newly revived WWE Women's Championship in September 98?
Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Championships. Against what member of D-Generation X did Shane McMahon successfully defend the European Championship at WrestleMania 15?
X-Pac!
X-Pac. Darn it.
What diva was disqualified from winning the bikini contest at In Your House Fully Loaded 98 when she didn't wear a top and instead had handprints painted on?
Sable.
Yeah.
X-Pac! Superstar bio. What superstar would ask an opponent his name only to interrupt the answer exclaiming, "It doesn't matter what your name is,
nice
you
try.
Dumb son of a bitch."
That's The Rock.
What?
The Rock. Nice try. We're on to modern era.
Coke. Listen, son. What's your name, you dumb son of a bitch? I don't care. I'm going to stomp a mud hole in your ass. The answer was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, it was The Rock.
Okay.
Co-captains Chris Jericho and Kane led what brand to victory in the Interbrand Bragging Rights 2009 match?
Raw.
No.
SmackDown?
Yes.
They're on SmackDown?
Yeah, Jericho and Kane were.
That's dumb.
That's what this card says.
That was Attitude Era? Oh, we're on
Modern, man. Modern. It's 2009.
Big events. Who won the mask versus mask match between Sin Cara Azul and Sin Cara Negro in an October episode of SmackDown? Blue or black? Who won?
Black.
Blue.
Damn.
Azul.
Damn it. What ECW champion was forced to forfeit the title when he was moved to Raw during the 2007 WWE draft?
Booby Lashley.
Correct.
Championships.
Yeah.
Who was awarded the World Heavyweight Championship by Vicky Guerrero in February of 2011, only to lose it to Edge the same night?
Oh, that's Dolph.
You gotta show the world. I'm here to show the world. Come on.
Record scratch. Who in 2008 became the first active competitor inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
2008?
2008.
First active competitor?
Yeah.
This is probably an easy one that I'm going to miss. In my head, I just let John Cena.
3 years removed from winning his first world title.
2008?
Yeah.
Was it Shawn Michaels? No. Was it Shawn Michaels?
No.
Ric Flair.
Yep.
Damn it! I knew that.
Woo!
Superstar bio. What are the initials of the former... let's see if you know this. What does MVP stand for?
Montavious... Oh, what does the V stand for? Last one's Porter.
Well, you're already wrong. It's Montel Vontavious Porter.
Oh! All right.
Montavious, that's good. 3-4. Oh, you get one. You get one. Uno. Because I should have said Ric Flair, damn it.
We could have tied again.
Ooh.
Jerry Lynn.
Oh, solid B-plus player in ECW.
Yeah.
B-plus player.
He's a good wrestler.
I always felt that he was the guy they got because Rob Van Dam wasn't around anymore. Like he was, but he was like for he was leaving. He was leaving.
Jerry Lynn was in ECW for a long time.
A very long time. But I kind of feel like he was
very often. A lot of it was when Rob Van Dam was still there. They had a series of matches.
No, I know, but I feel like he was not Van Dam. You know what I mean? He was Rob Van Not Dam.
He didn't exactly have the same personality Rob Van Dam did.
Hilton, hit the music.
Hilton's not here, man.
There he is. Good job, Hilton. You notice I had a bigger TV right there for our games?
I just noticed that.
Good stuff. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, talk to you later.
Bye.